Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. It's the end of the week 11, start of the week 12, Monday edition. I'm your host, Jason, and with me is Max. You can find me on Twitter at FLDrMilbarge and Max at MaxSW23. Max, how are you this week?
I'm pretty good. You know, I'm scrapping together. One league, I'm not doing too hot, but we're starting the season, and I think there's a lot of teams out there that are like me. We're really hoping for a strong second half.
Yeah, I'm getting healthy in some leagues. More injured in others, and so we're going to jump in with some waiver wire pickups to help guys who have that last week bye, guys who are getting injuries, Marlon Mack, James Conner's hurt again. You know, we're gonna try and weave you through this last bye week. Speaking of which, teams on bye this week are Arizona, Kansas City, Los Angeles, and Minnesota. Some heavy hitters there. So we've got some waiver wire pickups for you to get you through your bye, get you through some injuries. Before we jump into the news, before we jump into the waiver wire picks, I want to mention Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is a perfect place to get authentic autographed sports memorabilia. New members can use the code SLEEPERWIRE at sign up to get $5 off their first purchase. So the one thing I've been saying during these, if you get $5 off, turn around and donate that to Rob and his Lyme disease, the charity here at SleeperWire. We do that. All that we do here is for charity, for Rob, and for Lyme disease prevention and research. So if you get $5 off with Pristine Auction getting one of their autographed sports memorabilia, like, you can turn around and take that $5 and donate it right to Rob, right to SleeperWire. That's pretty cool. So you get a cool piece of memorabilia and you donate for a good cause. So with that said, we're going to jump into the news, Max. Marlon Mack suffered a right hand fracture during yesterday's game. He had surgery and won't play for a couple weeks. So Max, who do you think is the Colts back to own? Jonathan Williams ran 13 times for 116 yards, had one reception for 31 yards. Naheem Hines, 3 for 11 yards. 3 receptions, 24 yards, and Jordan Wilkins is coming back from injury. So, Max, are you a Jonathan Williams truther? You think Wilkins is going to be good when he comes back? Which guy do you want there?
Well, see, I initially thought it was going to be Hines because preseason, he looked like the next guy up. But after the showing, I just don't see Williams losing the job. So, as long as he can maintain this pace, which 13 for 116 is a little ridiculous, but as long as he maintains a solid stature in that backfield, they'll stick with him. Wilkins, I think, is the better running back, but I also haven't seen much of Jonathan Williams.
Right, so Jonathan Williams looked good in this game. I said a couple weeks ago when I was on a show with George that I thought that Jordan Wilkins looked as good as Marlon Mack when he got a chance. Now, the injury kept him from taking over here and showing what he had, but Jonathan Williams looked really good in the game, so it's hard for me to think that they're going to just take Wilkins back coming off an injury and put him in a large role. So I think maybe you'll see Jonathan Williams first and second down, Naheem Hines like we've been seeing on third down, and the pass catcher out of the backfield. I think Jonathan Williams is the guy to own here.
Until further notice, yeah, 100% the guy to own.
OJ Howard was benched after 16 snaps. Coach Arian says it's hard to say what's wrong with him. He's a talented guy, but it's not showing up on Sundays. So Howard was the cause of an interception. If you go back and watch this game, and I don't suggest anybody do that, but if you go back and watch this play in specific, OJ Howard has the ball in stride, basically just flubs it behind his back, and New Orleans Saints pick it off. After that, Cameron Brate was targeted 14 times, 10 receptions for 73 yards. We've been done with Howard for a good long time, but now that it looks like he's been benched, are we okay with picking up Cameron Brate?
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue with Tampa Bay and their tight end situation is O.J. Howard is extremely talented, but so is Cameron Brate. I was a Brate truther for a long time. I never really understood why they gave up on him. I just didn't get it. But if O.J. Howard has lost the trust of the coaches, it's Brate's time to shine. And you say it every week, they love their tight ends there.
So it's weird because it's hard to think that they actually gave up on Brate. Right before they drafted O.J. Howard, they gave Brate a nice long extension. making him one of the higher paid tight ends in the league. I think it just boiled down to they felt like O.J. Howard was a generational talent. He fell in their laps in the draft and they took him, but he hasn't panned out. I do like Cameron Brate going forward. They have some good matchups coming up. Play the Falcons a couple times. So even though the Falcons have looked better, I think there's good times ahead for Cameron Brate. Sterling Shepard returns to practice and Evan Engram is still sitting out. So do you think even with Evan Engram out, do you feel like Shepard can eat into Tate or Slayton's workload? Or is Shepard doomed to be that outside guy that doesn't get much play? Tate on the opposite side, or Tate in the slot and Slayton on the opposite side getting the bulk of the work.
Is it crazy for me to say that I genuinely think Shepard's the most talented wide receiver there?
I do think at this point that's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, Gordon is amazing. Not Gordon, sorry. Golden Tate is amazing. He's on the Seahawks. I'm a Seahawks homer. He's getting older. I think that he's the next one up. Slayton has showed flashes, but he's been too inconsistent, and I don't think Jones really trusts him. Now, this past week, I was really bummed because I have Slayton on my bench. I didn't start him. Good game. That being said, Shepard knows the system. He's a very talented wide receiver. And I don't think the Giants are comfortable replacing Odell Beckham with Slayton, but I think Slayton will develop into a nice number two receiver next to Golden Tate. I almost think it's going to be like a Gallup situation where is Gallup good? Yeah. But is he even better because of Amari Cooper? Of course. And I just think Slayton isn't as good as Shepard. And I think given time and development, if he can stay healthy, Shepard could be as good, if not better, than Golden Tate.
So I think having another player on the opposite side of the field only helps Slayton, just because you have somebody maybe taking number one coverage away from Slayton, and that can only help. But Shepard has played awful on the outside. He's only played well in that system in the slot, and now that's Golden Tate's spot. You can't take that away from him. He's just played too well there. So you're sticking Shepard on the outside where he's not comfortable and not playing well, and you say that's a full-time thing, and put him opposite of Slayton, who is making a little bit of hay on the outside there because of his speed. And I think it's Slayton's going to be the number two guy behind Tate, and Shepard's going to be the number three guy. And I don't see that changing. And hopefully for his health, he doesn't get another concussion anytime soon, because two in a year scares me. And bringing him back now when, you know, they don't have a lot to play for seems kind of rough to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. And honestly, fans, take Jason's advice, because I'm not sold on Shepard. But I'm not sold on Slayton. The only wide receiver there I truly like is Golden Tate. That being said, you're probably right. Like I said, I think Shepard's the talent, but he hasn't proven it.
Okay, and the final piece of news here is Mitch Trubisky was benched for the final drive in the Bears versus the Rams. Now, the game wasn't out of reach for the Bears in that last drive. Now, you could argue that they'd have to go down the field and score a touchdown and then get the ball back quickly and score. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but they pulled him. They say he had a hip injury, and I think that was to save face or help Mitch Trubisky save face. If you ran the franchise and were not tied to the pick, would Trubisky start another game for you?
Not a chance. Not a chance at all. The teams look better with Daniels. Like, it just has. Mitch, he looked okay last year. He looked like he might develop into the future quarterback, but this season, it has not panned out. And this is his third year in the league. I just don't see it happening for him. I'd move on at this point.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's his third year. He doesn't look like he's progressed at all. Maybe he goes and finds another team that plays to his strengths better, and he actually turns into a serviceable quarterback. Because if you look at it, he has some of the skill there. But I think he goes and becomes a backup. And then he'll go to a team like the Bengals where they have a guy like Dalton. Trubisky will be the backup, and a couple games into the season, they'll ask for him to start and he'll come in and play terrible again. So from an NFL perspective, it's hard for me to see Trubisky playing another game this season. It's hard for me to think that he's the quarterback of the future. And from fantasy standpoint, he's not even running this year. So he doesn't even have the safe floor that he had last year with his feet. So he's an altogether void. I think everybody knows that at this point. So one final note here. We're recording this Monday night during the Monday night game. Tyreek Hill has gone out of the game with a hamstring injury. I have not seen that he's back. So just keep in mind, we can't talk about his injury with any kind of real information until we know for sure, but he's out of the game as we're talking. Speaking of the Monday night game, I have this at the end of our notes, Max, but I'm going to get into it early. I want to play a new game every Monday night since we record during the Monday night game. Currently, the score is 7-3. That way, everybody knows we aren't cheating. We're 5 minutes left in the second quarter, 7-3, Kansas City. What do you see as the final score, Max? Let's see how close to the pin we can actually get this.
All right, so knowing what I know right now, not a lot of scoring going on, but knowing these two teams and respectively bad defenses, I'm going to say 28-24, Casey.
All right, and then one thing I wanted to add here, who do you think out of running backs and wide receivers, so I can take Pat Mahomes out of this, skilled positions, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, who's going to be the most impactful player going forward from this point? Who do you think is going to have the most fantasy points?
I'm torn. I want to say Hardman, but I got a sneaky feeling it's going to be Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry, what do you think his final line's going to be? And just again, so it doesn't look like we're cheating. At this point, Hunter Henry has 3 for 41, his longest of 16, no touchdowns. What do you think that final stat line will look like, knowing 3 for 41 with 5 minutes left to go in the second half?
10 for 117 and a touchdown.
10 for 117 and a touchdown. Hunter's got a lot of work to do, but he can get it done.
If anyone can, as the tight end position, it's either him or the other guy, Travis Kelce. But I'm feeling Hunter Henry, and the Chargers are throwing a lot.
All right, so we're going to get into the waiver wire pickups going into week 12. Now, the guys we're mentioning, they are all less than 50% owned in ESPN leagues. We're going to start with running back. So at first when I looked, I thought there's not going to be running backs. It's week 12. Looking at the percentages, there are a couple of actual guys here that we can use. The first one I want to talk about is Gus Edwards. He had 112 rushing yards and one touchdown. A lot of that had to do with Baltimore being up early. Do you think Gus Edwards has the chance to continue, or you think it was a one-week thing?
There's no history of it, so I'm going to have to say it's a one-week thing. I expect the Ravens to be up a lot. They're a fantastic offense, but with their offense being... like, with this being such a fluky thing, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I don't know that they're going to be up that much against too many teams. That defense is playing lights out. Ever since they got Marcus Peters, that defense has shut other teams down. They've been able to blitz a lot more. They feel a little bit better about their backfield or their back end. So they've been able to blitz a whole lot. That defense is playing on fire. It started with the Patriots game. This week was no exception, shutting down Deshaun Watson. It's hard for me to see Gus Edwards getting 112 and one again, especially with Ingram doing as well as he's doing, but you never know. I think the next guy we're going to talk about is Bo Scarborough, 55 yards rushing, one touchdown. He had 11.5 fantasy points. Bo had 14 carries for those 55 yards. He was not very explosive, but it's opportunity. Now, George and I got into an argument on Sunday about Kalen Ballage and his opportunity. I see Bo Scarborough, to me, he's a little bit like a Kalen Ballage. He's on a little bit of a better team. You know, 55 yards, 14 touches, one touchdown. Are you buying into Bo Scarborough? I know you don't like Lions running backs.
All right, well, there's a difference between buying in and accepting. So I'm not buying into Bo Scarborough, but I'm accepting as of right now, he is the most valuable running back in that backfield. They passed on Ajayi, which genuinely surprised me. So, I mean, if you're desperate, bye week's hurting you, injury's hurting you, Bo Scarborough is a low, low-end RB3 flex play. Low, low-end.
And I agree with that, too. You know, the one thing he's got going for him is it's week 12 and there aren't a ton of running backs. That's why you might have to give him a shot. But to me, he's a lot like Brian Hill was last week. Everybody gave him a shot and, you know, maybe the Falcons just suck at running, and it wasn't Freeman all along. Brian Hill came out and looked like trash. So Bo Scarborough could be, to me, along those kind of lines. Now, I know you for weeks have touted Jay Ajayi. Why aren't people picking up Jay Ajayi? Hey, Jay Ajayi. The Eagles did pick up Jay Ajayi. Are you buying in?
No, it's the worst team to sign him. They want Miles Sanders to be the guy, and they have Jordan Howard, who is currently the guy. Jay Ajayi is an insurance policy long-term. Now, if he took over Sanders' role, I think him as a 1-2 punch with Jordan Howard would be a flashback to him and LeGarrette Blount, which would be cool, but like a better Blount because Howard's better. but I just don't see it happening. He'll be a spellback. Could he take over the role? Yes. Do I think he will? No. This isn't a team that gives him an opportunity to really shine. This is just a team who signed him.
And I absolutely agree with you there. The one last guy I've already talked about him a little bit, but I wanted to mention him again, is Brian Hill. If you picked him up, are you good dropping him? He didn't show out, had a terrible game. Are you letting Brian Hill go?
Right now, I don't know. The issue is the Falcons. That's the issue. That team as a whole is an issue. I don't know how an organization who really hasn't lost much in the form of talent on their team has fallen apart so fast. It's kind of crazy. But Brian Hill, Devonta Freeman, anyone in that backfield is going to be a roll of the dice every week, much like KC's backfield. Damian Williams goes off last week, McCoy does nothing, and McCoy's currently going off, and Damian Williams is on the bench.
The thing I'll say about Brian Hill's upcoming schedule is he's got the Buccaneers, who are top five against the run, the Saints, who are top five against the run. Then he's got the Panthers, who just shut him down, the 49ers, who have allowed some run, and then the Jaguars. And that's his schedule going through the fantasy playoffs. I don't think Brian Hill's going to be a guy. This should have been the week, if he gave you anything, that you got it. I don't see it going forward. So for me, he's a safe drop. It's hard for me to say that for a starting running back on a good offense, but Dirk Cutter has killed running backs throughout his career. Last year, you know, basically he killed Ronald Jones, the start of Ronald Jones's career, giving him something like 23 carries throughout his whole first season. And he's doing it again this year. You mentioned Freeman didn't look good. Brian Hill doesn't look good. You put in Ito Smith, I don't think he'd look good. There's just something with the scheme that the Falcons are running right now. I don't think running backs are going to have a shot. And then with that upcoming schedule, I think it makes it even worse.
Well, it's a bad scheme. I mean, to be honest, I think any football fan knows you need to establish some sort of run game. You need to. Even when your running game isn't doing well, you still run the ball. Why? Because you got to get the defensive line tired, give the quarterback some time, make play actions work. And the Falcons are just punting that. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It is very crazy. All right, Max. So we've got Gus Edwards, Bo Scarborough, Williams from the Colts, Jay Ajayi. I'm assuming your Colts Williams is going to be the number one pickup for you this week. Is that the order you have it? Williams, Edwards, Scarborough?
I would have it Williams, Scarborough, Edwards. Because all right, Scarborough actually has an opportunity as to where Gus is behind Mark Ingram. And like I said, there's no history of this.
Okay. I've actually got it the same way, and you're avoiding Ajayi altogether, I guess, with him being part of that committee there in Philadelphia. So wide receivers now, got a couple of good options here. Lots of good players that are less than 50% owned on ESPN leagues. Randall Cobb had 4 receptions, 115 yards and 1 touchdown. The second week in a row, he's got over 100 yards. Is this for real? Is this just a 2-game fluke? What do you think about Randall Cobb?
I love it. He's the Cole Beasley role. I mean, Cobb was a little beast on Green Bay. He's older now. I almost didn't expect it here. Dak Prescott, as much as I've doubted him in the past and said he's not a good quarterback, he's getting it done. It's kind of bummer he's getting it done, though, because it seems like when their offensive, like the pass game's working, their run game is failing. It's kind of a bummer to me.
You got a lot of Zeke everywhere?
Yeah, I got Zeke. Well, I think he's the best running back in the NFL. I don't know. He's just not looking good this year. And I don't know if I blame him or the team, but Dak's looking great. Randall Cobb has filled that Cole Beasley role perfectly. So for PPR, he's going to be a little stud for you. Yeah, it's going to be hit or miss weeks, but as of right now, it's a hit.
So speaking of Cole Beasley, did you know, and I found this out this weekend, did you know that Cole Beasley rapped?
No, but I want to hear it.
Yeah, so at the end of this episode, instead of our normal closing, I'm going to put a little bit of Cole Beasley, just enough that we don't have to pay his royalties. I think it was like 11 cents. We'll just put a small little taste of it. But Cole Beasley raps, for all of you out there that didn't know that, just Google Cole Beasley. You can find all his tracks. I want you to tell me what you think. FL Dr. Milbarge, if you listen to Cole Beasley rap, give me a shout. Let me know what you think. All right, so we're moving on from Randall Cobb. Devontae Parker, 7 receptions, 135 yards. He has 11 points or more in 7 straight games. Devontae Parker has been consistent, if nothing else, this year. What do you think of Devontae Parker? Does he finally have a halfway decent fantasy season?
I hope so. Kid's so talented. It's looking okay. I just don't want it to get ruined. It's one of those, like, when a pitcher's throwing a no-hitter, you're like, don't say anything. Don't even mention it. Just ignore it. Let it happen. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for right now.
I really want him to do well because for years, for the last couple of years, you know, I've picked him at the end because I feel like he has potential, and you watch him in the preseason and he has potential, and then he comes out and the coaches don't like him or he doesn't give any effort and he just doesn't do very well. And then this offseason they gave him an extension and you think he's going to be a big part of the game. And Preston Williams, well, one, they're awful, right? But then Preston Williams was showing out and they were trying to get it to Gesicki. But meanwhile, Devontae Parker's quietly having a pretty decent fantasy season. Not to mention coming up, he plays the Browns, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Bengals with the Jets thrown in there. So like 4 out of the next 5 weeks, including the championship game, he has really good plus matchups. Now, can you trust Devontae Parker week 16 in your fantasy championship? I don't know. But against the Bengals, man, that's juicy.
See, I think you could because Fitzpatrick's a winner, and that's what he wants to do. And I was actually watching him run, watching him like really give it his all. The dude's a baller. I know Fitzy's a joke. Fitzmagic's a joke. But if he was ever on an actually good team, do you think he could have been like a good quarterback?
And I say this a lot. I think a lot of what happens with quarterbacks, it's 100% situational. You know, if Tom Brady is drafted by the Cleveland Browns, the only reason you know Tom Brady's names is because he's doing Big Ten games on Saturday. He may not even get a chance to start. And if he gets a chance to start, it's behind a bad O-line with no good weapons and a dysfunctional front office. You know, Tom Brady, and I'm not saying he's not good and wouldn't have been good on his own if he had gone to another decent or good team. But Tom Brady being drafted by one of the best coaches in history, with him also being one of the best GMs in history, gave him a leg up and gave him a chance to shine. And I don't think if he was drafted by the Bucks or the Browns or the Dolphins or anything like that, he would have had that chance. Fitzmagic's the opposite. On several bad teams, because bad teams need quarterbacks, he gets a chance to play and is just good enough to make really bad teams okay, but could have taken a good team and made them better. So I do think he could have been really good on a good team and just never had that opportunity.
Well, it's kind of like Nick Foles when the Eagles signed him as Wentz's backup. My buddy, who's a diehard Eagles fan, remembers Foles when he was on the team, and the team wasn't that good. But Foles, you know, had some great games. And I was like, oh, dude, this is sick. Like, they got Foles back. He's a good backup. And a few of our buddies up here were like, oh, Foles is terrible. Look what he did here. Look what he did there. And I'm like, those are really bad teams. And they're like, yeah, that he's a bad quarterback. Same with Case Keenum. Look what he did here. He's so bad. Look what he did here. He's so bad. And he goes to Minnesota and he has a huge run. Nick Foles wins a Super Bowl. It's like these quarterbacks clearly are good. The teams they are on are terrible. The Redskins is a dumpster fire. And Case Keenum made them look serviceable.
All right, we're moving on with wide receivers, waiver wire pickups. Deebo Samuel, I had to look twice to make sure he was under 50%. It's crazy to me that he's still under 50% owned. Deebo Samuel's had 8 receptions, 134 yards. He's had 2 games in a row now with 8-plus receptions and more than 100 yards. He's 12th in the league in red zone targets. Deebo Samuel's is a must-pickup, guys. Go get Deebo Samuel's. What do you think? Now that he has Emmanuel Sanders opposite side of him, and hopefully at some point Kittle's going to come back, Deebo Samuel's is a must-pickup, don't you think, Max?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. My only issue with Deebo is not even Deebo. It's the fact that Garoppolo kind of hyper-focuses, if you notice. And I feel like he really targets one guy most games. And with Sanders getting hurt, I think this really opened the door for Deebo. It kind of said, hey, I'm still here. I'm still your guy. Throw me the ball. And, yeah, he's a must-add. He should be, I'd say at this point, 60, 70% owned, so 68% owned at least in leagues, just as even a bench guy for you.
So this is a guy, Hunter Renfro, that we talked about a couple weeks ago, said it's too soon, we shouldn't pick him up. Well, now he's averaged 14 fantasy points a game in the last 4 weeks. This week he had 5 receptions, 66 yards. He's found the end zone a couple times over the last couple weeks. Hunter Renfro, to me, is a good fantasy add. He's the he's the possession receiver to Tyrell Williams' deep threat. What do you think about Hunter Renfro?
He's another Cole Beasley, Randall Cobb-esque kind of wide receiver. PPR, great little flex play for you. Standard leagues, which I know not many people play anymore, I definitely wouldn't go after him, but I like him. I mean, he's definitely one of those bye-week filling guys that I'm right now comfortable starting.
Absolutely. He's a guy to watch out for because I think he fits what they want. Derek Carr does not, up to this point, he doesn't really like going down the field deep. He has with Tyrell Williams taking the top off a couple times, but he really likes the Waller and the Renfro, you know, short little dink and dunk passes, get him 10 yards in stride and see what he can make with it. And I think that that's Hunter Renfro's game perfectly. So I think he's a Derek Carr kind of wide receiver. All right, jumping in, another guy I can't believe is still under 50% owned. It's Auden Tate. Now, I know he left the game injured, but he has led his team in red zone targets. He has 30% of all his team's red zone targets. He's fourth in the league in red zone targets. Auden Tate is a must-own even on a bad Bengals team because when they get down in the red zone, they do target Auden Tate. He's had a really good season. It doesn't look like Green's coming back. AJ Green's coming back anytime soon. He may come back next week. He may not come back all season. Who knows what he's going to look like.
Yeah, Auden Tate is, at this point, a definite must-own. And I think the under 50% is because of the uncertainty with Green. I know I had Auden Tate for a while, and I also had AJ Green. And when it came to dropping someone, I was like, you know what? I got Auden Tate's replacement. I also have a great caliber wide receiver. Now, at this point, I don't think Green's playing this year, so roster Auden Tate.
Yeah, easy enough. Roster Auden Tate. The last wide receiver we're going to talk about, and we've already talked about him a little bit, Darius Slayton. He's a little bit lower on the owned percentage. He's had the last week he played, he had 14 targets, 10 receptions, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. The week before that, down week. The week before that, 2 touchdowns. He's an up-and-down receiver. I don't think he's a must-own, but he is a matchup guy. So looking at the Giants' schedule, they've got the Bears and the Packers, not two great games, but then going into the playoffs, the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the Redskins, three of the best matchups you can have for the playoffs. So maybe you don't pick him up this week or next week, or maybe you pick him up and stash him. Max, do you stash him to play him in the playoffs against the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the Redskins?
I mean, I'm going to default to you earlier over the Shepard-Slayton conversation we had. So judging off what you said, yeah, I'd stash him. And with juicy matchups like that, especially on a Giants team who they don't have anything to lose, but they have a lot to prove, yeah, I'd stash him.
Yeah, and it looks like Daniel Jones, who I will refuse to call his nickname because it is one of the worst nicknames I've ever heard. Muscle Hamster may be worse, but Danny Dimes, come on, guys. We can do better than this.
And he doesn't even throw that many dimes.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel Jones is looking pretty good, and I think he'll feast against the Eagles and the Dolphins and the Redskins, and I think that's going to be a really juicy matchup. I think I might have just talked myself into stashing Daniel Jones as well for the playoff push. You've got Darius Slayton. If you have room on your bench, give him a stash. All right, Max, so we've gone through the wide receivers here. I'm going to read off the names that we've talked about. I don't want to put them in order because there's a handful of them, and I know we'll just get it confused, right? So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you the names. I want you to tell me who your number one wide receiver pickup is this week. We've got Randall Cobb, Devontae Parker, Deebo Samuel, Hunter Renfro, Auden Tate, and Darius Slayton. Of those guys, who's your number one waiver wire target?
All right now it is a serious coin flip between Parker and Samuel because I think they're the two most talented. And I can't remember Miami's rest of season schedule, but I'm going to assume it's mostly AFC, which is pretty light in the defense category. So I'm going to go with Parker.
All right, so Miami's rest of the season schedule looks like this. They've got the Browns, the Eagles, the Jets, the Giants and the Bengals in your championship season, in your championship week. So for me, it depends on the makeup of your team. If I need a guy with upside, I'm going to go Deebo Samuel because I think Deebo has a 2-touchdown, 135-yard receiving upside every week. He also has the floor. that's not super high. He could go, it could be a Kittle week or an Emmanuel Sanders week. Like you said, Garoppolo hyper target. So if I'm looking for a boom at my flex spot, I'm picking up Deebo Samuel. If I have a lot of players that are giving me a lot of points and I need a safe floor, it looks like Devontae Parker is going to be that guy. Like I said, 11 points in 7 straight weeks. That's a good, decent floor for a flex spot.
And I also think he's a boom guy, too, because I think if Fitzmagic's trying to show off for who's going to sign him next season, towards the end of the year, those are very juicy matchups.
I agree. We're moving on to tight ends. So we talked about Cameron Brate in the news. I do think he's a good guy to pick up going forward. The other guy I have on here, Robert Griffin, it's not a surprise that I'm saying to pick him up. He's got 5 receptions, 109 yards, 1 touchdown. He's been the top tight end 2 out of 4 weeks. Let me ask you, Robert Griffin, would you rather have somebody like Robert Griffin who is good 1 week and bad the next, or somebody like Fells who will get you 2 catches, 20 yards, 2 touchdowns, but is very touchdown dependent, not getting a lot of yards? Which guy are you after?
I don't want either of them.
You don't want either of them. All right, tell me why you don't want Robert Griffin.
Well, inconsistency. Tight end is I don't expect superstars. There are superstars at the position, but I'm hoping for 6 to 9 points from my tight end every week. This is PPR. If I can get 6 to 9 points from my tight end every week, which is what, 4 receptions, 50 yards, or, you know, just your basic check down plays, that's realistically all I'm looking for out of a tight end. He's so inconsistent. And yes, his highs are high, but his lows are so low that it's just, if your team is strong, great, and you can just kind of punt the position and hope for the best, fantastic. Fells, I don't like because of the touchdown dependency. Now, Fells is a guy where it's like, all right, I'm going to lose this week. My projections are terrible. I need a home run hitter. I'm going to try for Fells. If that guy can get 2 or 3 red zone targets, pulling a touchdown or two, like that to me, it's like, all right, hopefully this works. And he's the guy they look to in the red zone, which in my eyes is what you want, kind of why we're talking of Auden Tate. So I trust Fells more, but I wouldn't be comfortable with either of them. If Jason Witten's on the wire, like I'd go after him. Rudolph I'd feel more comfortable with. I don't know, there's just other guys who I'd rather turn to.
All right, and I tend to agree on tight ends. Give me a Jack Doyle who has a shot at a handful of catches and a handful of yards. Give me an Ebron who's been targeted a lot. Yeah, they're not sexy, and they're not giving you league-winning weeks week in and week out, but at least they're giving you that safe floor, and if you don't have one of the stud tight ends, I'm with you. I want a safe floor with my tight end. I do like Robert Griffin. I think he has, he has a good schedule for the next couple weeks. We're finally seeing Sam Darnold do what I thought he would do weeks ago. He's finally had a couple of decent games put together here. He's got 1 or 2 more good games on the schedule, and then it's going to be time to drop him. So Robert Griffin could be good going forward, but it's hard for me to trust it because this week was great. Last week he did nothing. And I can't, that's the one thing I can't have from a tight end is nothing.
Exactly.
So our final category, and we're going to get out of here, we've got quarterbacks. There's not too many. Like I mentioned, Sam Darnold, 295 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's finally had the game I was hoping for weeks. He still has the Raiders, Bengals, and Dolphins before his schedule gets tough. He's got 3 more weeks of good schedule. Do you pick up Sam Darnold at this point? Are you still, do you think this is an aberration for 295 and 4, and he's going to have tough games with the Raiders and Bengals? The schedule just looks so good. It's just so hard to trust Sam Darnold right now.
I actually do trust him. He's the first Jets quarterback I've trusted in a while. Beginning of the season, he looked all right. He got mono, and then it all went to hell. I think he came back too soon, and I think he came back to help his team because of obviously just the Browns playing like – the Browns-Jets game was the first game where I saw Myles Garrett be what Myles Garrett has kind of turned into, which is a dirty player, and I'm going to say it straight up. When he ended Trevor Siemian's career on a late hit. And I remember watching that hit and being like, wow, that was so late. That was crazy. There was no flags, no nothing. And then at that point, the Jets were screwed. They needed their quarterback back so bad. Darnold wasn't ready, and it wasn't easy going for him. He seems healthy now. His head's right. with easy matchups as a streamer, sure.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm for the next 3 weeks, I'm staying with Darnold. I've got him in a bunch of leagues. You know, I've been championing Sam Darnold's schedule for more than a month. I told people to pick him up after the Patriots game because we knew his schedule was getting easy. And then it got easy and he didn't play well. Well, now that it's playing well, I'm gonna circle the wagons. I'm gonna crow a little bit. I'm gonna say, go get Sam Darnold. You got three more weeks. The other quarterback that almost nobody has or had going into this game, they didn't even have the picture of him on the current team when you looked him up on Google. Jeff Driscoll. He had 209 yards, two passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. He gets the Redskins next week. Are you comfortable picking up and starting Jeff Driscoll?
I'm almost comfortable starting anyone against the Redskins, but I'd take Darnold over him.
You'd have to have a league where teams have 2-3 quarterbacks. Everybody's holding multiple quarterbacks for me to start Jeff Driscoll. He had a good week here. He showed out a little bit. But, man, I can't trust a guy who's not even in his current team's jersey on his fan page. Like, I just can't start Jeff Driscoll any week. All right, well, so, Max, is there anybody that I missed, anybody that you're thinking about that I haven't talked about? I know we're both dreaming of going and listening to Cole Beasley's rap music, so we're both trying to get done for the week. Anybody I didn't talk about?
I mean, he's owned in a lot of leagues, but Josh Allen's been a baller. I know that all the hype around young quarterbacks is Lamar Jackson being an absolute stud, and he is. But Josh Allen, what's the thing? He hasn't thrown an interception in 5 games. He just posted a QBR over 117. I think the Bills have found their franchise quarterback, like, for real this time.
Yeah, I like Josh Allen. He's owned in most leagues. I have him in several. His schedule does get more difficult. So I'm facing a dilemma here because so he's got the Broncos this week, then the Cowboys, but then he plays the Ravens and the Steelers and the Patriots. Like, going forward, especially in the playoffs, Josh Allen's going to be a sit for me, even though I have him everywhere. He's a good young quarterback. To me, he's like Cam Newton, good with his legs, can throw the ball 1,000 miles. His accuracy is, okay. And he finally got a guy in John Brown who can run under the passes he throws. So I like Josh Allen going forward. I just, the rest of the season, to me, it's really tough for him. I wouldn't want the matchups of Broncos, Cowboys, Ravens, Steelers, and Patriots going forward for the rest of the season. Only maybe the Cowboys game you could feel comfortable starting him. So that's the end of the show. Kind of a nice, short, tight show for you guys to start week 12. I've been Jason, FL Dr. Milbarge. Max, you want to tell the guys where what your Twitter is?
Yeah, it's MaxSW23. And guys, from all of us at Sleeper Wire, we love you. We appreciate you. Good luck this week.
Yeah, good luck this week. You can follow Sleeper Wire at Sleeper Wire Show. Check out our other shows on the Sleeper Wire Network. Tuesday and Wednesdays, we have live shows for you on Mixler. Check out our Friday show with Professor Chris and, of course, our Sunday morning blitz with me, George, and Rob Rose. Guys, like Max said, we love you. Thank you for listening.
Early mornings, I ain't slept long. Big headed, so I'm headstrong. Had to be just to be headed to where I was going, like my head gone. They said I'm crazy, but I told them all that it's no biggie, but you're dead wrong. I'm the wrong one to be swept off up under the rug. Patience of a wondrous slug to come from the mud and get y'all up off me. Flowing circles round them like drawstrings. Overheads.